AC, what's happening, man?
Hey, today I'm kind of I have a mixture of feeling a little bit anxious and excited.
Maybe it's aliens.
No, it's something much different. Today's a very special day.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, today's the day that I have some news to reveal to you.
Ooh,
And I've been
exciting.
waiting for 15 years to reveal it.
15 years.
15 long years. That's
Yeah,
about how long we've known each
I've
other.
known you for 15 years.
And the truth is, Dan, I'm not your friend. I'm not your business partner. And I'm not even your
You're
mentor.
my father?
No, I'm not your father. And I'm here to tell you that I've been hired. I've been hired by your family to be those things to you because they knew that you needed it for your own
To
mental
be my
health. To
mentor?
be your mentor,
All
to be
right,
your
well
friend, to be your business partner.
start mentoring.
I've been mentoring you, and that's
You
why
haven't done
today
nothing.
I'm revealing this to you because I know that you're healthy now and you're able to do it on your own.
You are a bum of a mentor. I want my money back. I want my family's money back.
Delusions, Dan, delusions.
Delusions. I had a neighbor growing up who believed that. Actually, I'm not sure. He tinfoiled all his windows in his
Did
bedroom,
he
and I
really?
heard, he didn't tell me this directly, I heard that he believed the tinfoil was blocking the alien rays
Oh,
or
really?
the aliens from contacting him or something crazy.
I see.
But that would be
That would qualify,
a major,
probably.
that would be much more than delusional disorder. So the key point seems to be with delusional disorder is the delusions, the fantasies are plausible.
That means they have some, they could have some basis in reality,
Yeah.
or they conform to some kind of potential logic.
Right. They're
Okay.
in the realm of possibility.
Okay. Or as opposed to another kind of delusion, like a schizophrenic delusion or
Well,
a.
one common thing that I've read happens every year to dozens of people is people in Jerusalem who think they're Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Apparently, that's very
Well, that
common
doesn't
there.
just happen in Jerusalem, right?
No, but I imagine it, Jerusalem attracts those kind of
Oh,
people from all
sure.
over the
Yeah,
world.
sure.
And yeah, apparently that's a regular occurrence in Jerusalem.
Interesting.
And so that would be, not plausible.
Non-plausible delusion.
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
just like crazy delusion.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when I was first hearing the story about Theo, the secret agent, and Herson, I was thinking, man, Herson, what a sucker. But then as you continue on, you see it's not just Herson who's getting fooled.
The
Even the police
police,
are starting to wonder, maybe there's something here. And one thing I didn't include in the story was much about the lawyers that Theo or Josh, the guy with delusional disorder, he contacted. I actually thought that was kind of cool that he didn't leave Herson out to, he didn't hang him out to dry.
Right, he kept
He
him
really was
engaged and trying to help
he
him,
was
and
really trying to get him out.
yeah.
And he went so far as to contact these lawyers, which I, just briefly included in the story. But, these lawyers, one of them was a ex-Marine who also had experience in the intelligence world. And he says he gets this call from somebody who's works for the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he says and he's hearing this story about this secret operation they have, and he's saying it just doesn't make any sense. And he says, well, why don't you're in the Defense Intelligence Agency, why don't you use
Connections there to
use
figure
some
it
of your
out,
swing to get them out. And he added, the lawyer said he had an answer for everything. And he said, well, what we're technically doing is illegal. And because of that, I've got to go to civilian lawyers. And I can't officially hire you. I can funnel the money to you. And it was interesting what later on he developed as the real reason he told the lawyers and the police and reporters later mm-hmm. about why he was having Herson rob these banks. It wasn't to test the security of the banks.
Yeah.
It was to vet Herson for overseas spy work.
Wow.
And he wanted, you know, the intelligence, his agency needed to see whether Herson could stand up to the pressure of, heated situations,
sure.
which obviously he couldn't. He was, he was running away left and right.
What struck me about the story was just the power of a single person's beliefs and convictions can have such a huge sway over other people and over life and reality. I mean, when this person believes that he truly is working for, you know, the CIA or some clandestine government operation and truly believes that, in when he communicates with other people, I mean, the power of his convictions come through and it becomes believable. Even to people who should know better, it becomes really believable.
Right. Well, I guess they don't call them confidence men for nothing.
Right, right.
And there's nothing like real belief to transmit true confidence.
Yeah.
So even one of the things that both the lawyers and the police said was he just projected authority, and he really knew the lingo of, you know, in the intelligence world.
Right.
And they both the police officer who sometimes had to deal with CIA and other intelligence agents being in that Washington D.C. area and the lawyers.
Right.
They both felt like, wow, this guy really sounds like he knows something, even though it sounds crazy at the same time.
Yeah.
So what would you have done in that situation?
If I were whom?
If you were Herson.
Oh, if I were Herson? I don't know. I mean, if someone came to me with that idea that I should be robbing banks as a, you know, for a job, I'd say no. I mean, wouldn't you? Under what circumstances would you accept that? I guess if I really needed the money and I were desperate for something. I mean, I just don't see what the long-term benefit would be.
Right.
That's the only thing. The only reason I would do is for some kind of short-term benefit. When I was desperate, I needed something.
Apparently, Carolina, one thing I didn't have space to include in the story was Carolina was not such a willing partner.
Well, she wasn't, but she's the one that introduced him.
Yes, right? But it was because he was threatening her.
Oh.
Well, he was also dangling the carrot of, let me, you're going to get some money and maybe I'll get you a government job.
Right.
But when she balked, he threatened her a little bit and he said that, I'm going to cause trouble for your fiance and your family using, you know, some strings and get them in trouble. So she was coerced into recruiting Herson.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, what a delusion that guy had, huh? He just believed. I mean, I wonder where that belief would come from. Wouldn't there be some kind of seed to that belief or some kind of incident that would happen that would cause a person to believe, or do you just wake up one morning and just believe that that's what you are?
Well, apparently he had a history of impersonating different law enforcement.
Okay.
But maybe in his world, he had connections to all of these agencies.
Yeah.
The end of this story is he was given probation in exchange for accepting medical treatment, which apparently he did go to. He went to his psychiatrist or his therapist.
But a year later he got arrested again.
Yeah, apparently he had contacted some hospital and was saying he was an ATF agent.
Right.
And he was demanding hospital rooms to conduct some investigation. And the security at the hospital thought, this sounds a little strange.
Yes.
And, it was this guy again.
Oh, gosh.
Apparently, when they raided his house, they found a book on the CIA.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, he was very good at gathering information.
Yeah.
I think he must have been some sort of hacker or something.
Uh-huh.
Because
I wonder what his livelihood was.
Yeah, it was hard to tell. He claimed to be some sort of technology or internet consultant, but it was hard to tell whether there was any reality to that.
Yeah.
But apparently when he was younger, he had gotten in trouble stealing like online fantasy game money.
Oh.
And he had also been arrested for forging a judge's signature to,
okay, so he had a,
you know, he had a history, he had
some brushes with
people.
The law in the past.
Well,
that type of delusion isn't the strangest one out there.
What's
have you ever
strangest?
Heard of Cotard syndrome?
Cotard,
yeah.
No, what's that?
Cotard syndrome is a delusion where the victim, if you will, or the patient believes that he or she is dead.
Believes he or she is
or has
dead.
Died,
okay,
and is
so
you know like
the person believes they're a ghost that no one.
Well,
can
Well, I don't
see.
Know. I don't know if they actually believe they're a ghost. They believe that they're dead, but somehow they're still here. And yeah, you can look it up online. There's all kinds of stories of people who just believe that they've died, and somehow they didn't get buried or they didn't end up where they were supposed to be, and they're just in the wrong place. They actually believe that they've passed away. And I've tried to imagine what that would be like. That'd be pretty weird. Yeah, it'd be pretty strange.
Well, you know the true history of zombies from Haiti is you know, we've got this zombie boom on TV with
all these zombie TV
shows and movies, but there's a true history behind that.
Well, that comes from the I'm just making a guess here, but maybe the voodoo practice of maybe consuming some kind of liquid.
It's
a drug of some sort.
Yes, it's a drug from some sort of fish, maybe related to the puffer fish.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure, but I think it paralyzes
That's
you.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
And
they'd get buried alive or something like that.
And they also,
inadvertently.
I think it can stop. Obviously, it doesn't stop your heart, or you would really die. But it can make your heart
appear as if you're dead.
Yeah,
yeah.
Beat very, very quietly,
faintly. Right.
And so it appears as you're dead. You get buried by your family, and then when you come to, you're given hallucinogenic drugs, and you're beaten for days.
Wow.
And you know, you're in this confused state, and then you're made to believe that you have died and that you now are a zombie.
Wow.
And they become slaves.
Wow. That's pretty intense.
Yeah. So I almost wrote a deep English story about it, but
it's pretty dark, isn't it?
It's a little too creepy.
A little too heavy. Well, a very common delusion is delusions of grandeur. I mean, a lot of people suffer from that.
Sure.
They feel that they're far more important than they actually are.
Sometimes people feel that they're mentors
to
other people.
Exactly. Or they're great human beings,
when
they're just completely normal, run-of-the-mill, like you.
Right. I've met a few of them.
But have you heard of the Truman Show syndrome?
Truman Show. That was a movie.
That's right, with
it?
Jim Carrey. Did you see that movie?
Yes, I did. And he believed that
He was like an abandoned child who was raised in this like television studio on a reality kind of show or whatever. And he eventually figured out that his life was a television show. Like a reality television show kind of thing.
Right.
And he tried to escape it.
Yeah.
Actually, it's been a long time since I saw that movie. I don't remember what ends up happening, but there are people actually nowadays, and this is a recent delusion in the last 10-15 years, people believe
this
is a fairly recent delusion that's come about,
maybe since reality TV.
Yes, since reality TV, there are people believe that they are, their whole life is set up.
Right.
And there's hidden cameras like watching them, and they believe. And so I think, in the past, pre-reality TV, you had people believing in spirits or ghosts or whatever, I it's probably a sign of the times, like your delusion can get attached to whatever's out there.
Right.
And so that's interesting how people might feel that they're on a television show, and believe it,
right?
Like truly believe it. And then it gets, sort of raises the question, are you what you believe you are? I mean, if you believe you're a chicken, and in spite of what everyone tells you that you're not a chicken, you can't be possibly be a chicken. If you truly believe it, are you not a chicken in your own mind? Like in your own reality, you must be a chicken if that's what you believe you are. I mean, the power of belief is so strong.
Have you heard of that delusion where you think that you're an English teacher and you're speaking to tens of thousands of listeners around the world and you're really just all alone in a closet?
Crying in the fetal position.
Talking to an eraser.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that. Yeah. But actually, it just when it comes to the mind and belief and how it affects reality, that story, the little story at the beginning of the lesson where those they were doing a raid on a, was it a bank?
Yeah, that was in New Jersey. They got, you know, an alarm went off and and all these SWAT teams showed up.
Yeah, and it turns out after how many hours? Like 30 hours of doing these negotiations?
Three hours.
Oh, it was three hours. Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, you know, they find out it's just a cutout piece of cardboard or whatever. And then imagine the feeling at that moment of, because all the emotions that you went through and all the, the feeling of like, oh my gosh, like we went through all that nervousness and, you know, the fear and the tension. And it's just, it's over nothing. Yeah. It was nothing. But it reminds me of a story, a very well-known traditional story. Mm. I think it comes from Southeast Asia, maybe India. Mm. It's old, it's almost a parable really. About a monk who's walking through, he's trying to get home at night.
Yeah.
And he's walking through the forest and it's getting dark really fast.
Yeah.
And up ahead, he sees something on the trail. It's a very narrow trail and the forest is really thick. There's no way around this thing. And so he approaches very cautiously and he can see in the dark, like this snake that's coiled up and he can't tell if it's poisonous or not, but he starts getting really afraid because he doesn't want to be stuck in the jungle all night and he has to get past it to get home because that's the only way past the snake. And he starts freaking out and he starts really getting, you know, panicking. Like he's got all this fear and he's starting to, his heart starting to beat. He's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get past this snake? And so it turns out he has like something to make some fire with and he fastens a quick torch just to give him enough, you know, fire to see what it actually is. Turns out it was just a rope dropped by a previous traveler who had gone down the trail before him. He suddenly realized in that moment, he felt this sense of kind of peace and freedom and like happiness. It's like, relief basically that, this is not a snake. It's just a rope.
Right.
And so he just, you know, he walks past it and life is good again. And he goes home. And I think the obvious, you know, point of the story is to show us how the mind creates a lot of this stress and worry and, you know, unhappiness, suffering, difficulty, and a lot of it's just mentally created. And I just wonder when it comes to delusions, maybe we're all living in a delusion and just our delusion is a normal delusion, what quote unquote normal delusion, then it's a shared delusion because we, you know, the delusions that we're talking about in this lesson are people maybe whose delusions are different than the normal delusion.
Right.
But maybe we're all living in delusion. Right. We believe, you know, in the ego and Dan and Aaron and, you know, everyone around us. We just have this delusion and maybe is a source of a lot of difficulty. So anyway, I like that story. I think it's a good story to think about.
Well, on that note,
yeah,
let's bring this to a close.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right, buddy.
All right.